we know the biggest names in Hollywood, whether we want to or not, it's hard not to come across stories about the daily ups and downs of the Kardashian family and stars of the reality show Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Kardashians are an example of celebrities with one of the most loyal followings out there. People know what they like to wear, what kind of salad they're eating, and who they're dating at the time, and they devour controversy surrounding the Kardashians. Here's a clip of Kim talking about the PR war between her husband, rapper Kanye West, and singer Taylor Swift on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I feel like I've had it with people blatantly treating my husband a certain way and making him look a certain way. Kanye is always so honest and speaks his mind. And, you know, when we were first dating, everyone would talk and he always had my back. At this point, I really don't give a so I'll do whatever to protect my husband.
Our next guest wrote a book that asks a simple but powerful question: why do we care so much? Whether it's a chart-topping musician or an Instagrammer with millions of followers, many people are at least curious about, if not obsessed with, the lives of the people in the spotlight.
Julie Clam joins us now. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and her new book hit the shelves yesterday. It's called The Stars in Our Eyes, The Famous, The Infamous, and Why We Care Way Too Much About Them. Julie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Julie, what kind of answer do you come up with when you take a crack at that fundamental question, why do we care about celebrities?
You know, I think that it's actually very interesting. There was a study done at Duke University. This neurobiologist had a bunch of rhesus monkeys. He gave them all a very salty snack and gave them the option of either having their favorite drink, which was cherry juicy juice, or looking at pictures of the high status or celebrity monkeys. And they chose looking at pictures of the high status monkeys. And they actually had to be bribed to look at pictures of the B-list monkeys. So I think we're hardwired for it. I think there's something like in within us. You know, the sort of easier answer is when the things that we do to make ourselves feel better, that we do to get out of our heads, watching movies, listening to music, watching TV, going to a ball game, the people that are responsible for these productions are the people who we end up following as celebrities. They're, you know, if you have a favorite baseball player or a musician and you see them, they make you feel good, they remind you of feeling good. Then you see them in a magazine, and it turns out they have the same Uggs as you, and it's kind of exciting, and you feel closer to them, and it sort of goes from there.
It's kind of sad to think of us as a bunch of monkeys, thirsty monkeys who've just eaten salty snacks,
monkeys.
And we'd rather look at celebrity monkeys than have a juicy juice box, but you're saying that our urge is that primal and that strong?
Because the question of why... There are things where you're just sort of like your head snaps to look at whatever it is. And, you know, my thing is I'll go onto Facebook, you know, in my, you know, attempts to procrastinate entirely and see some celebrity is trending. And I have no idea, you know, I don't know why Charlie Sheen, for example, somebody I'm not really interested in. But I want to know what's going on. Why is he trending? I'm assuming he's done something. Whatever's going on with him is worse than whatever's going on with me. And I sort of go down this rabbit hole. And, you know, again, he's not big in my life. But I sort of, oh, look at him, his ex-wife, you know, her ex-boyfriend, Richie Sambora. Then I'm thinking, what is Jon Bon Jovi doing these days? And, you know, it's like before you know it, it's time to make dinner.
Right. And you talk about how... In the early days, you know, celebrities were almost like these gods and goddesses, and they were glamorous and beautiful and untouchable and kind of mysterious, and that has reversed now. With social media, you can have access to people. It's, at least it feels like intimate access 24 hours a day, and there are celebrity gossip sites, and there's Instagram. What is it like living in an era when we have constant 24 hours a day access to celebrity culture and celebrities themselves?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you talk about in the old days, it was a very, you got a very curated picture of a celebrity. A publicist would set up the photo shoot with the magazine. They would, you know, make sure the house looked perfect, the quotes were appropriate. You know, now we have this sort of unfiltered, you know, where celebrities can, you know, get drunk and tweet 50,000 ridiculous things or whatever they want to do, and there's no filter. And so, you know, on some level, it's a good thing because their messages are clear. We get them. We don't have to worry about somebody spinning it. And on the other hand, you know, some of these people are really not capable of that, of having that much airtime.
One of the celebrities that you have been, and you write about this in your book, a little obsessed with over the years, and for various reasons, is Jennifer Aniston. Why do you think it is that we're drawn to particular people, particular celebrities, and we bypass somebody else? You're not so much an Angelina Jolie person, but you're very into Jennifer.
You know, I think, you know, part of the thing that I talk about in the book is that, you know, all of the things that you feel about these people really do tell you something about yourself. When Friends came on TV, I was single and sort of floundering, and I totally related to the Rachel character. Whenever I saw her interviewed, she would be charming and self-deprecating, and I started to root for her, and then, you know, she sort of evolved, and she started to be this, like, much more glamorous, you know, the long, shiny hair, then Brad Pitt, you know, and there was this whole sort of preoccupation with it. You know, she particularly, as a star who, if you see her, you feel like she's somebody you would talk to. You know, you would feel comfortable talking to. She is a friend of mine who is a celebrity journalist. We had this talk years ago about the, you know, Jen versus Angelina thing, and he said Jennifer Aniston is like a woman you'd see walking down Madison Avenue. Angelina is other, you know, and in my book I say, you know, I imagine her, you know, that when she gets up in the morning, a bunch of bluebirds wrap a robe around her because she's this Venus, you know, and I can't relate to her. You know, the things that she does, you know, when she was younger, I remember there was a story about her carving her boyfriend's name into her arm. It's like, you know, that ain't me. So, you know, I just, you know, I think we find people that we relate to more. I think when we're, you know, attracted to a specific storyline in a celebrity's life, it's very indicative of what we're going through. I mean, I was distraught when Jen and Brad broke up, and I'm sure that it was connected to the fact that my own marriage was starting to break up at that point. And I kept, you know, looking at their pictures and thinking, they looked so happy and they looked so great together. What went wrong? You know, why? Why? And, you know, I honestly had a lot of things in my own life that would have been, could have used my attention a little bit more than that. But, you know, there I was.
We're talking to Julie Klamm right now. She's the author of the new book, The Stars in Our Eyes, The Famous, The Infamous, and Why We Care Way Too Much About Them. And Julie, Alec Baldwin had a rant a while ago. He's been kind of in this on and off again war with the press, the media, and the paparazzi. And he says, clearly, this obsession with celebrities is just people who don't have a voice politically. Washington
right.
is broken. They're kind of disenfranchised, but they can vote thumbs up or thumbs down on various celebrity escapades. And he
yeah.
thinks that's really sad. Is there something to that critique?
Well, you know, I think that that was, you know, I think Alec Baldwin is a guy who has a very passionate reactions to things. I think he was really angry at that point about how he felt he was being treated by, you know, the paparazzi, and, you know, rightly so. A person, you know, should be allowed to live their lives comfortably. I don't know if, you know, everybody who's interested in the celebrity story feels like they don't have a voice in the world. I think that, you know, we do like to think of them as not being, you know, as being sort of the gods and the goddesses. They're not going to, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, gossiping about, you know, Ben Affleck, it's not going to get back to him. You know, I'm not going to have to worry about it. I can't do that about the people that I actually know. But it's and the whole thing of it is a very sort of, it's a sort of safe, guilty pleasure. It's you're not going to gain weight. You're not going to need an addiction counselor. You're not going to have to spend a lot of money. You know, it's just sort of this day I'm going to look at an InStyle magazine and see pretty gowns and somebody's gorgeous house.
So you're saying it's about escapism as much as anything else?
I think so. And I think that the more, the news becomes this flaming dumpster fire, the more you look to, I've been watching movies lately that are like, as complicated as, Disney, Beauty and the Beast. I feel like I can't take any more tension. There's all of these, really nice escape movies or listening to music or whatever it is, and certainly the people associated with it are the ones who are responsible.
Julie Klamm is with us right now. We're talking about her new book, The Stars in Our Eyes, The Famous, The Infamous, and Why We Care Way Too Much About Them. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk more about that and also scandals and celebrity and what's different between politicians and celebrities when it comes to a scandal.
And we want to know what you think at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us what you think makes a celebrity. Which ones did you or do you continue to follow? Tell us why you find them interesting. Are you interested in the lives of celebrities in the traditional sense, like politicians, musicians, and movie stars? Or do you follow the lives of people on Instagram or YouTube? Call in 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our conversation with Julie Klamm about why people are so invested in the lives of celebrities. She's the author of the book, The Stars in Our Eyes, The Famous, The Infamous, and Why We Care Way Too Much About Them.
You can tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or by posting on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us if you follow the lives of celebrities or if a celebrity played a big role in your life growing up. Tell us who you find compelling and why. Do you have a theory on why movie stars, musicians, even social media stars captivate people's attention so much? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Julie, it often happens. This is real life. These aren't just cartoon characters. They're people. And it often happens that some of these celebrities, actors, musicians that we admire have dark personal lives and personal failings sometimes. You think about Woody Allen, Bill Cosby. You have numerous lists in your book about people who had affairs with the nanny. So how do you handle that love for the art that someone makes, but you're really disappointed in who they turn out to be sometimes as people?
Well, I sort of talked about in the book that I kind of look at it as how significant the artist is to me. And what the infraction is. I didn't really, if somebody has a sex tape leaked, it doesn't really change my opinion of their work. If somebody turns out to have a political opinion that I find abhorrent, I have a very hard time watching their work or, patronizing anything that they do. With Woody Allen, it was really difficult. I grew up in a very preppy, waspy area. There were very few Jewish people. And Woody Allen was like the first cool Jewish person that I was aware of in high school. I'm sure there were many more, but I didn't know who they were. And everybody loved him, and he was really great. And all of a sudden, it was like, the coolest thing to be a Jewish neurotic person, which I was. And then, once the scandals started to hit, I mean, the whole thing with Sun Yi, it was not great, but and I felt like something had changed for me. Later, when, you know, Marielle Hemingway wrote her book about him being, like, very lecherous to her when she was 17, you know, I realized I identify more as a woman than as a Jew, and, or, you know, equally, and it sort of, that was sort of it for me, and it turned me off. At the same token, I have a lot of friends who are friends with celebrities or celebrities, and you don't necessarily get this, you know, the story that you hear is not always accurate. There's a tremendous amount of reinterpretation and spin. But, you know, I felt very disappointed. There was also a very good op-ed piece in the New York Times about from an African-American woman who grew up feeling like the Cosby family was one of the first depictions of a regular, you know, to her, a family that seemed like hers, and how crushed she was to find out about his, you know, whatever, his discrepancies. You know, it's very dependent, and it's a much bigger sacrifice if it's somebody who means a lot to you. I have heard some horrible things about people who I don't care about anyway. It wouldn't make any difference if I, you know, stopped buying, you know, if I decided to boycott Justin Bieber. I've never bought a Justin Bieber album or anything, so whatever he does or says isn't really, you know, if I can say I hate him, and it's not going to change his profile.
I want to take a caller now. Let's go to Greg joining us in Stoughton. Greg, hi.
How you doing? I would like to say that I think what's going on in part is that people just want more drama. They lack meaningful purpose in their lives more and more, and there's a superficiality that life is like these days, which you can readily see in politics. And I think, you know, we're designed to be interested in drama, and if it's not there naturally in our lives, we're just going to look for it, you know, someplace else.
Greg, thank you for that. And Greg saying, you know, people don't have enough meaning in their lives, and it's a sign of shallowness maybe in our culture. I mean, is there any critique? You know, we hear the analogy to the fall of the Roman Empire, where people were obsessed with pleasure, and in this case, you know, celebrities. Do you think it's anything indicating that there's something wrong with our culture?
You know, I think that, you know, the way that I feel about it, and the people that I know who are interested in celebrity culture, it's like a funny, fun pastime. My friends who watch The Real Housewives, they do it and, like, text each other things about them. They're not investing any part of themselves in these situations. And, you know, it's actually something that, you know, you can take lightly. I mean, there are certainly people who are obsessed and unhealthily obsessed with a celebrity. Once you're past the, you know, teenage age, you know, it might be something you want to talk to somebody about. But I think that, you know, I have a very filled life with a family and lots of dogs, and I still like to read about, you know, Mark Ruffalo.
All right, Greg, thanks for that. Let's go to Penny now in Ripon. Penny, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
I was a big fan of John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and before my daughter was born, I had a very difficult pregnancy, and it was very similar to the pregnancy that Yoko Ono had a short time earlier with her son, Sean. And so my husband sent her a letter just saying that we were going through the same thing. And then when the baby was born, he wrote again and said that we had a beautiful daughter and she was healthy. And a few weeks later, we got a postcard in the mail saying Welcome to the world, Melissa. Love, Yoko.
Oh, that's that's a great story. So
wow,
she actually.
That's amazing.
I don't
well, that is actually, you know, that's something I talk about too. Exactly the same thing. When I had my daughter, I had a really difficult pregnancy, and when she was born, my then husband had just lost his job. We were living in a one-bedroom apartment. She was in a, you know, in a bassinet right next to my bed, and I had this idea that Brooke Shields, who had a baby at the same time, was having the greatest new baby experience with her. You know, I thought she had a gorgeous nursery and a staff. She probably got to sleep. Somebody else was, you know, somebody was cooking. She could go to the gym. And then, you know, shortly after that, you know, I read about her very serious postpartum depression. And, but, you know, there was something about, I had, you know, I took comfort in this idea that there was somebody who was having an easier time than me.
And that takes us back to that idea of escapism and also comfort. And we're going to leave it there. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Julie Clam. She joined us to talk about her new book, which hit the shelves yesterday. It's called The Stars in Our Eyes, The Famous, The Infamous, and Why We Care Way Too Much About Them.